The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Sunday, December 5th, 2021. And folks, tonight I just came from a concert. It was just wonderful. It was really... Oh, boy. a classic Christmas concert over at the Chester Christian Center Assembly of God Church in Chesterland. And those folks really put on. Pastor Steve and AJ and all of the good people there really put on a great concert tonight. They really did. And, boy, if you missed it, I'm sorry you missed it. And I got to meet some new people for the first time. And it was great. But we raised a record amount of money for the Right to Life to save babies with, and that was even better. And so all of that, again, I want to thank the good Lord. Again, thank the good Lord, praise the good Lord for that. He really blessed us tonight, and I'm sorry I had to run off so quick. I would have wanted to stay there a little later, but I had to do that to get here, and I just got in here and sat down before we went on the air. So with that, I'm going to go right into our message tonight. The title of the message was, Hath God Said, and It Is Written. Hath God Said, and It Is Written. And so here, with all of what's happening today, and this is kind of what this message is about, is a number of those things that we as a church are dealing with today in our country. And here, you know, the rulings of the actual Supreme Court. We're going to tell you what, you know, what people are saying and then what God has said. And so here, it's an interesting thing because people on our side, and this Dobbs versus Jackson case that was heard last week, and of course we had some people there that were there for the whole thing, went through and on the radio program telling us how they were fast. It was Dr. Steve Jacobs from, excuse me, Illinois Right to Life, who was telling us about how he was really, he felt confident. He was really encouraged because he sat in and listened to the questions asked and listened to. So he was really encouraged by the outcome. He a lot more than me. I'm afraid I'm a little bit cynical because so many times we've been betrayed. But, you know, an interesting thing was that here the Democrats had said they're going to come out in such numbers, that they're going to come out and rally in such numbers. Well, guess what, folks? There were more than three times as many pro-lifers there, more than three times as many pro-lifers there at that court as there were pro-deathers. And guess what? It wasn't our side that was intimidated. It wasn't our side that was discouraged. Our people were there in a couple days before the hearing praying, staying out all night. And I want to praise the good Lord for Pro-Life Action League out there. And that's run by I was forgetting my good friend, his son's name. But anyhow, and then we had those people, from Mark Harrington, and his people were out there. A lot of the, just so many pro-lifers, all different pro-life groups had come to Washington, and I praise the good Lord for that. And so we're going to start tonight here. And by the way, one of the things that they were saying all week long was, well, you know, it'll be, we got a feeling that the court's going to rule it'll go back to the states as it should be, back to the states. No, it should never have been to begin with. It never, there never should have been Roe v. Wade. The pastors in this country failed God, and they failed the unborn. The pastors should have been there. They're the ones that were supposed to be bold and brave. Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions, and they should have gone to Washington, D.C., and put that corrupt court that was supreme only in its rebellion against Almighty God, folks. The pastors had the responsibility to try them for treason against God and country. That's the reality. And they failed. And we're praying that maybe now that we'll find some that will stand fast. And we need to pray for revival to take our country back to one nation under God. But tonight we're going to start in Genesis chapter 3. Now, and we're going to take a look at some of these rulings by the actual Supreme Court of the universe. And we start with verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, when she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sawed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. Well, here, folks, you have a number of things happening that, you know, you don't often hear about. But, and when we take a look at Adam, first of all, Adam had never seen another human being. And there's a lot of firsts with Adam. Adam was the first, actually, first zoologist, really. He was the namer of animals. He was the first landscape architect placed in the garden to care for it. He was the father of the human race. The first person made in the image of God and the first human to share in an intimate personal relationship with God. But he had some problems. Okay, he avoided responsibility and blamed others. He chose to hide rather than to confront and made excuses rather than admitting the truth. And, of course, his greatest mistake was he teamed up with Eve to bring sin into the world. Well, what happened there? Well, Eve had to, not only did she sin, but she went a step further and brought Adam into her sin with her. And Adam's descendants, as Adam's descendants, we reflect on some degree of the image of God. You know, folks, now, according to what theologians and scientists and and what history has told us, we are really kind of a pitiful example or of Adam. If you take a look at what most theologians believe, that Adam was probably 13 to 14 feet tall. And we're going by the skeletons that were found, those that died. Well, actually, those that died pre-flood and those that died after. Eve was probably 10 to 12 feet tall, okay? What do you have here? Well, and a lot of times we get the idea that, well, you see, these things happen quickly. But here, Adam and Eve may have been in that garden for quite a while before Satan showed up. And so, and by the way, Satan was there first. He wasn't supposed to be there, but he was there. And he peered, he watched, and he looked, and he waited to find a weakness. He looked to find a weakness in Adam and to find a weakness in Eve. And he discovered that Eve's weakness was an area of discernment. And the Apostle Paul writes about that over in 1 Timothy, where the enemy attacks women today generally in the area of discernment, where he attacks men generally in the area of pride. And so here he zeroed in, he found Eve's weakness and his discernment. And then Adam's weakness, of course, was Eve. Now Eve, she was a prototype. She had to be the most beautiful woman that ever existed. She was the perfect woman. She was made without sin. She had to be the most beautiful woman. And, of course, you know, Adam, he'd been to her naming kangaroos and hippopotamuses and that. And, boy, here's Eve. And he had to be just totally overtaken with this beautiful woman. Now, about Eve. Well, Satan was the most beautiful creature. Well, actually, it was Lucifer when God created him. But he was the most beautiful creation of God complete. He was the most. And so what do you have here? You have the two most beautiful creatures, Satan, number one. If you go to Ezekiel, over in Ezekiel chapter 28, it goes into how God had made Lucifer the most beautiful creature. In effect, maybe I'll just jump over there for 1 minute here and take a look. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentations above the king of Tyrus, and saying to him, Thus saith the Lord God. Now, the king of Tyrus is Satan here. You know, we know that in the beginning where it says, And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, okay, and that was Ethbaal the third, the king. But here now, he's talking about the king of Tyrus, which is Satan himself, and that's where Ethbaal had been getting his power. And saying to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, goes on. So here you had, we get the picture, you see these pictures where in the garden you've got Adam and Eve and there's a serpent wrapped around a tree. Well, that's not the way it was. He walked upright, he had arms and legs just like, and here he was, what would get the attention of the second most beautiful creature other than the first, and that was Eve. So Eve was overtaken by Satan's beauty. And here, now also for Satan himself, Adam and Eve were the first two humans he ever saw. He had never seen a human before. And with Adam and Eve, remember, Adam and Eve were the only ones that never had a human mother or a human father. And here, if you take a look again as we look back and we reflect on here as we are all of us out there, Adam's descendants. And we're all the image of God. But Adam and Eve were far superior images than those of us today. And so here now, in fact, when we hear about the serpent until, if we jump over, and we will read here in Genesis 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt eat all the days of thy life. So until he was not, until after he beguiled Adam and Eve, he did not, he had arms and legs, the serpent did. And so here, now, another thing too is Adam had, first of all, Adam had a responsibility. He failed. Adam failed in, to take headship of his wife. He had the absolute authority and the power in that garden. God had given him the ultimate. He could have taken the head off the serpent. He could have done that. And the serpent knew that. Satan knew that. And that's why he went through Eve. And that's where Adam's weakness was again. Here's this gorgeous, beautiful woman, okay? And so he gave up his place as head of the head of Eve and let her tempt him. And then, again, so Eve involved Adam in her sin. And so she had to share in his sin then. And at that point, their innocence was gone. The innocence was gone. But here's a, well, it's kind of a humorous attempt to hide their nakedness. They try to hide their nakedness from God with fig leaves. Now, folks, I know today, if you go down to some of these beaches in the summertime, you got these young women down there, they're not hiding anything. I mean, they're not hiding anything. They're just about stark naked in most of these beaches out there today. And they think that they don't see anything wrong with that at all, okay? But they will. I want to go over now to Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, I hope my voice holds up tonight. I've been doing a lot of preaching today. And in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And we had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Can you believe that? Here is Satan in the temptation, if thou be the Son of God, right? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, well, cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give the angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into exceeding the high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the earth, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, just think about this. If you want to know why today, do you ever notice that the liberals, the Democrats, how generous they are with other people's property? They're very generous with other people's property. And that's what socialism is all about, or communism. It works until you run out of other people's money. And here's Satan. Now, first of all, he is talking to his creator. He's talking to his creator. And he's telling this creator that, look, if you'll worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of this earth, which by the way, belongs to you anyhow, since you created it. And so that's awful generous of him. I mean, you could tell that he definitely was a Democrat, right? Now, who else would offer to give back somebody? Well, it's like the government with the taxes, right? How generous they are to give us back some of our own money that we've spent. And so, here, the Word of God is an extreme, effective weapon to be used against the enemies. This is why the Lord Jesus said, it is written, it is written. To be used against the enemies of Christ and His church. It is there effectively, to effectively rebuke, to refute, and to chasten the enemies of God. And that's what the Word of God does. And don't return void. On the other hand, it also, for us, for those that are believers, it will encourage us, it will exhort us, it will inform us, and embolden the saints. And only Christ could have withstood Satan then. But now we have the power, because of Calvary, to withstand Satan when we're tempted to him. And so, with that, I want to go over to I want to go over to Genesis 9. Again, when I was listening to the people, and these are the people that are supposed to be on our side. They're on our side, and they're saying, well, you know, now it looks like Roe v. Wade may be returned back to the states, that the issue, they called the abortion issue, may be returned back to the states where it belongs. No, it doesn't belong there. It doesn't belong at all. There should be no such thing as Roe v. Wade. Abortion, God has said abortion is murder. God has said it. Okay? And so, here, in Genesis chapter 9, I want to read you verses 1 through 7. And where did I, let me see here. Okay, here you go. Nope, that's not the... Okay, I got it now. Genesis 9, verses 1 through 7. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hands of every beast, will I require it. In the hands of man, at the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Who sheddeth man's blood? By man sheddeth his blood. His blood be shedded, for the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Now, the very first command that God gave man was to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And this was the fourth time by Genesis 9 that it was stated. Now, here, in this is the Noahic Covenant. This is called the Noahic Covenant, and this is where God gave man the divine institution of human government. And so, now we're talking about legitimate, we're talking about real divine human government. What we have today, really, our government is really illegitimate. It's not a legitimate government, okay? And as we go through here, you'll see why. Now, there was 5 points clearly derived through the divine institution that applied to the divine institution of human government. The very first point was to whom it was given, okay? And we read that here where it says, and God said unto Noah and to his sons, saying, and behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowls of the cattle and of the beasts of the earth. So here now, he's telling you who it was given to. It was given to all mankind for perpetual generations, all living things. And this is the only one of those covenants that covers every dispensation period, that it spans every dispensation period. So here, as we see, the first point, to whom it was given, and then the second point was the intent of divine human government. And you have that in the starting with verse 1. And God blessed Noah, and it says, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you be upon every beast. So here is where we get, as he goes on, the intent of divine human government was that man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. But then we get to the third point. And here, the third point, this is the most important, because it's the entire purpose of divine human government. I mean, what we call real human government. The entire purpose was to preserve the image of God, that being man. That was the entire purpose. And this is why he tells you over and over to be fruitful and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. We have such a corrupt judicial system. I mean, it's so corrupt that they command to do the opposite, depopulate. That's what's happening out there now, today, with this reset. With all of these bioweapons called, they're calling them vaccines, and they're not. They're bioweapons. The very people that invented these things are telling you that they're bioweapons. Don't take them. They'll kill you. And people are taking them, and they're killing people, okay, out there. But here, again, the entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God. Here's what it says. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. In other words, if an animal kills a man, then that animal has to be put down. And I will require it at the hand of a man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, and by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Okay? So he's telling you this, again, making it very clear, that this is where we get the statue of the death penalty. This is where we've gotten the statue of the death penalty. And here now, and you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly the earth, in the earth, and multiply. So God had commanded that we do exactly the opposite of what our corrupted government, that court in 1973 was supreme only in the rebellion against God, and they were supreme only in their sin. Basically what they ruled was that we will take and make what God has made unlawful, the transgressing of God's dominion, we will make it legal if you purchase a license with mammon from Caesar. We will make killing children and destroying the image of God legal. This is what this corrupted court did, okay? And again, I go back and I tell you, the pastors had the obligation to march on Washington, D.C. We went down, there were 100 of us that went down, but that wasn't nothing. We needed 100,000. We needed 100,000 to go down there and place that corrupted court on trial for treason. They failed God. And they failed the unborn. And when the time comes again, I hope that we will find that God will raise up enough of godly men who are righteous and bold to stand against this horrible national sin of America. And so here, the fourth point was the means by which man was to govern for God. And that was God's laws, God's statutes, God's commands, God's promises, God's covenants, etc. And then the fifth point was this. that all nations and all peoples that would be in compliance with the first four would be at peace and not at war with God. Well, folks, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any country today that's at peace with God. And so, and with that, I think I want to go over now to, well, right back here in Genesis, right to Genesis 1. Now, we're going to take a look at the apothecary or pharmakia. The apothecary or pharmakia. You see here, God has given us natural medicines, foods and medicines. And this is what God has given us the herbs. God has given us the leaves. God has given us the fruit. God has given us the roots. God has given us the nuts and all of these things. That's what God gave us. God says, here, and this is what you'll use. I know I'm God. I created you. And this is what you will use as medicines. And this is what you will use to eat. Okay. And so, it says here this, let me read it, verse 26 through 31. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of tree, yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so, and God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God was pleased, you know. He said whatever he'd made, it was good, right? Now, folks, we go back here, and first he says, let us make man in our image. And it says there he made, he in our likeness, and have dominion over the fish and this. And so it says that he created them male and female. So you see, only two genders. God did not create any of those trans things. Those things did not come from God, those trans things. Those things came from a wicked, evil imagination. And so here, so God made two genders, didn't stutter, very clear. And then he didn't make any hybrids like this stuff from Del Monte or DeSanto. He didn't make those things. All of these, and he didn't make any of these cancer-causing additives that you find in all of your food today, where they actually, in some used, you know, aborted babies, the cells from aborted babies for tests, for taste enhancement. God didn't give any of that. That stuff's right from the pit of hell. And so God gives us natural vitamins, natural through leaves and roots and fruits and vegetables and nuts and things. So here, no cancer-causing additives, just plants for people and animals. And so here now, I want to go over to Isaiah chapter 38. And in Isaiah chapter 38, and I'll be there in a minute. In Isaiah chapter 38, starting with verse 20 through 22, And the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. And Hezekiah also said, what is the sign that I should go to the house of the Lord? Well, here now, believe me, folks, a lump of figs is a whole lot different than the bioweapons that they want to give you out there today. And so here, Hezekiah also, he would have been much, much better off. You know, the Lord had said, Hezekiah, get your house in order because you're about to die. I'm going to take you home now. And Hezekiah said, oh, Lord, I wanted to do these things and this and that. Could I at least get a little more time, Lord? Could I give a little more time? And so the Lord said, all right, Hezekiah, I'll give you another 15 years. And so Hezekiah asked for a sign, and he said, a sign unto thee from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. So, you know, not too many people can turn the sun back, folks, right? Okay, and so here now, the reason Hezekiah would have been so much better off is because that 15 years, he ended up with Manasseh. And Manasseh was a wicked king, more wicked than any before him. Hezekiah was a righteous king, but sometimes he made some pretty bad decisions. But he was a righteous king, and he had gone and he had torn down all of the centers of idolatry that were there. He went and knocked all the statues and all of the in the groves where they would put up to worship or to sacrifice their children to Moloch. And Hezekiah, a good king, had knocked them all down, destroyed them. But then, as soon as he died, Manasseh went and erected and put them all back. And Manasseh was a very, very wicked man. And he returned to the practices of the wicked. And here, because Hezekiah, when Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, when he came, when he'd heard that Hezekiah had taken sick, well, they came to Hezekiah and said, we heard that you were ill. We just come to see what we could do for you. And Hezekiah said, well, no, I got healed because here the Lord, we made a plaster out of fig leaves and God healed me. But since you're here, let me take care of you guys and welcome you. And then Hezekiah went and let me read it. And Hezekiah answered, well, Isaiah said to him, what have you shown them in thine house? What have you showed them, Hezekiah? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt begat, shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And that's not a good thing. And so, even though he was a good king, he made some big mistakes. But now, so folks, it's always better just to listen to God and just to do what he tells you. I want to go over to Ezekiel 47. And in Ezekiel chapter 47, we find, and I should be there in a minute. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 6 through, I believe verses 6 through 12. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which bringeth brought forth into the sea, and the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Well, this is going to happen, we know for sure, during the millennial kingdom, okay? And it shall come to pass that the Father shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglaim, that they shall be a fishers. Wait. And they shall be a place to spread forth in nets. And their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea exceedingly many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all the trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to its months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and their fruit thereof shall be for the meat, and the leaf of the nations. And so, here, he was making a very good point. That God, you see, folks, it's this simple. God gives us natural herbs. God gives us roots. God gives us fruits. God gives us vegetables. God, all of these things, God gives us herbs for the healings of the people, for our wealth. God's the one that made us. The big pharma gives us drugs. And people are dying off these poisonous drugs in this country that are killing over 250,000 people a year. And that rate is growing more and more. All of the drug cartels that are working with, right along with the Democratic Communist Party, bringing in all of this poison across our border, and people are dying, young people are dying left and right. And so, God came, Jesus said he came to give us life and more abundantly. The devil brought death. And by the way, pharmacy, it comes from the word pharmakia, meaning witchcraft or wizardry. And then I want to take you over to one of my favorites, and this is right over from Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22, just verses 1 to 2, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So the leaves of the trees and the herbs and the vegetables and the fruits and the nuts and the roots, they're all given to us by God. They're all given to us by God. What is the world giving us? Drugs. Lethal drugs. Folks, it's not a hard choice. In whom, you know, we should trust, right? And then where I just was over in Ezekiel, it was an interesting thing there too, because they had talked about the boundaries in Ezekiel chapter 47. When I was reading, I just want to jump back there for a minute here and take a quick look at what he says, starting in verse 13. Thus saith the Lord God, this will be the border whereby you shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions, and you shall inherit it. One is another concerning the which I lifted up my hand and given to your fathers, and the land shall fall in for your inheritance, and this shall be the border of the land. He goes on to talk about the border, the border, the border, the border. Now, it's an interesting thing because, you see, folks, a nation without borders is not a nation at all. And if I go over to Deuteronomy chapter 19, and we read this, starting with verse 14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord God giveth thee to possess it. Now here, nations or countries without borders, or states or counties without borders, or townships or cities, they must have borders, because if they don't have borders, then they're not. Even your own home. If you have a house and you have property, you have a property line. It's got borders. It's called your borders. But if a state doesn't have borders, it's not a state. If a county doesn't have borders, it's not a county. And if a country, and then the Democrats here, they want to erase our borders. They have no problem with giving, well, for example, illegals there in Texas. They don't have a bit of problem giving those squatters that come coming over the border, illegals, into the property of the Texas ranchers there. The Democrats got no problem at all saying, you know what, they should be given the land. That's right. Now you've had this burn, loot, and murder movement. Okay, the ones that call themselves Black Lives Matter. And they think that white people should give up their land to them. Not just to black, but to them. And that's the way Democrats always are. Again, it's always, they're very, very generous with other people's property and other people's land. For themselves, they want to have private property, but they don't want private property for the rest of us. And so, in fact, they're in New York. The Attorney General there in New York wants to give thousands and thousands and thousands of illegal aliens the right to vote. In fact, I can tell you, because that's one of Soros bought and paid for Attorney Generals. Soros bought and paid for. And what happens? Well, they don't care if you vote, as long as you vote early and often. That's they're corrupt. All of every single one of Soros bought and paid for attorney generals or prostitutes are as corrupt as corrupt gets. They're all corrupt. They're totally corrupt. That's why, like I said, he bought them and paid for them there. And so now they want to give non-citizens. See, the right to vote is a sacred right. It's a privilege. And they want to just, it's a right and a privilege, and they want to give it to those that don't deserve it. And again, believe me, they have no problem at all redistributing your wealth and your property to others. And of course, you know, within the collective, the idea is when you redistribute the wealth, you keep 60% for the 2% card-carrying elites, and you redistribute the other 40% amongst the masses. So, With that, I want to go over to Matthew chapter 4. Back to Matthew 4. And back in Matthew chapter 4, we want to read verses 12 through 17. I got to wet my whistle again. Verses 12 through 17. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region, the shadow of death is spring up. From the time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here again they're talking about borders of the land, to land and having borders. But you know, it's an interesting thing because here Jesus moves from Nazareth to Capernaum, which is about, I was there in about 20 miles north of Nazareth. Now, he fulfilled a prophecy of Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. And so again, when we take a look at this, you know, the people saw they sat in darkness and they saw a great light. And that was him, that was the birth of the Lord. But anyhow, if there's no borders, again, there are no towns, no borders, no regions, no borders, no states, no borders, no counties, no borders, no country, folks. God gave us borders that, and again, that's why the Deathocrats want to take them down, because they're in total opposition to whatever God has done for us. And so in Nazareth, they would not accept the Lord's teaching. And that's why he said a prophet is never accepted by his own, in his own hometown. Now I want to go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Verses 1 through 8. Now the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, say the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goeth down and hastens to its place where it rose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continuously, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. And the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers came. Thither they return again. And all things are full of labor. The man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. This thing that has been, is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Well, here Solomon was the wealthiest man of his day. He was the wealthiest man of the day. But you know what? Solomon was not full of himself like so many of these billionaires are today. And so here, he knew that God was sustaining, the forces of all creation and all of nature. And folks, I want you to think about this, you know, it's beyond imagination, the power of God to sustain and keep everything coordinated and everything working in conjunction. The planets, the rotation of the planets, the tides, all of these things, the seasons that we have. It's an amazing thing, but it shows you the power of God. And Solomon says that the earth will be there forever. Now, Aok, that Alexandria, whatever, Cortez, whatever, she says we got about 9 years left. But God says he's going to keep the earth. I'm going to go with God, okay? Now, I want to go over to Psalm 104. Well, you know, I'm going to have to stop right here because we're running out of time for tonight. But I just wanted to say, well, you know what? I'm going to do one more very quickly, just one last, because we've covered all of these different things, global climate change. We've covered borders. We've covered the apothecary versus the pharmacia, the abortion, the killing of the children. But here, this is what the Bible has to say. The Bible and the Second Amendment, Luke 22, verses 36 to 38. And then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one. For I say unto you that it is written, it must yet be accomplished in me. And it was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, we have two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. The Lord was letting them, was telling them to be prepared to defend each other. Folks, and this is a very good message, especially for today in America. Well, we're out of time. And as we always say, as we get to this point, the program, folks. The only thing, the time will come, this will happen. In fact, it happens every day. It's happening right now somewhere in the world, where the only thing that will matter to you, the only thing that will matter to you is your personal standing with the Lord Jesus. You see, the time will come when, as Scripture says, your Lord, your soul will be required of you. And folks, you're either saved or you're lost. There's no in-between. You'll either go to heaven or you go to hell. It doesn't matter what you believe. It's what God says. You can believe anything you want. But the one sure thing, the one thing that's absolutely sure, is what God has said. Because what God has said will happen. It's happening right now as I'm talking to you. So I encourage you to do this. Do like Jesus said, tonight, pray to the Father and ask for forgiveness of your sins. If you have not done this, do it tonight. Don't wait. Then ask the Lord Jesus to come and be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. If you'll do that, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be changed. And when that happens, you'll be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And you'll be on the road to eternal life. And so, don't wait. Don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. Pray about it first and then do it. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.